everyone, welcome to the podcast. I hope you are well. This week we are chatting about abstract art. I'm sharing with you how I got into it, why I love it, and a few tips to help you along the way with your own abstract art making.
Hello Laura, how are you going?
I'm very good. In fact, I'm very excited this morning because I just pressed publish on our latest online class, and that's always a big deal for me.
Mm-hmm.
There's always feelings of being nervous, excited. It's I've been buzzing. I haven't even slept that well. Like, I woke up this morning and I was like, today's the day.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you've signed up for that online class, which is called Abstract Landscapes, it's all there waiting for you.
Enjoy.
Enjoy the class. And it got me thinking actually about abstracts in general and how I fell into, and I should say fell in love with, abstract painting. Because I didn't always paint abstracts. Yeah, when I started my painting journey, I did a lot of whimsical characters and animals and birds and things like that. And it wasn't until later that I started to let those more realistic things, or they weren't really realistic, they were
identifiable
things go, and I started to get more involved in just the paint and patterns and shapes and line and space. And that's when I felt the most free. It was very exciting for me to shift into that area because you just never knew what was going to happen. It looks easier than it is. And I think one of the things I love most about abstract art is I feel like it involves a surrender to the process. For me, when it happens, when I paint, it's almost like I'm not painting. And that's what I get from abstract art, because you are just trying out different supplies, making unexpected moves, doing things that you wouldn't necessarily do in a traditional sort of step-by-step process. And you just have to kind of let it happen. And in that, there's just this freedom. And when I started painting, that was something that I was craving. I wanted that. It was almost like excitement. You know, I was in a stage of life where there was a lot of repetition. I was changing nappies, looking after kids. There's that feeling of like I felt like I was stuck in the daily grind a bit at that point in life. And then with the painting, it was like I could just do something unexpected. And it was such a contrast to what was going on in my day-to-day, and not just at home with my kids, but also I was working in an office doing administrative work, so spreadsheets, forms, to-do lists, very structured working environment. And to be able to come home and go into my studio and just splash paint around, get it on my hands, glue things on, rip pieces of paper, that was liberating. It gave me so much. It made me excited about life again. So you can tell from me what I'm saying that I love abstract art, and I feel like anyone can get involved in this. And that's why I wanted to do the podcast today, because I wanted to chat a little bit about some of the things that you can do to bring some of that freedom into your art and just get started with exploring an abstract style of painting. And you might already paint, and perhaps you do so in a more realistic or traditional way, and it might be just combining that with some abstract elements. It doesn't have to be full on abstract if you don't want it to be. In fact, I often combine abstract with some more recognizable imagery, often botanical elements and things like that. So there's a spectrum when it comes to abstract art. You know, you can have something that's not representational at all, or you can have abstract art that is kind of semi-representational.
So are these 5 points, or are these 5 ideas, or are these 5 hints? Like, what are they?
That's an interesting question, actually, because they're kind of 5, I don't know if you call them tips. I have said that, like, you know, when I was planning out the podcast, but these are sort of 5, I guess, approaches or ways that you could look at abstract art in order to get you started. So before we get into it, I would love to share a review that we've had for the podcast, because we are so grateful for anyone that takes the time to leave us a little message or a comment. And this one came in. It's from LL Mears via Apple Podcast in the USA. And the podcast review is: great information and soothing to the soul. I love this podcast. It's jammed full of great information and inspiration for any level of artist, from curious dabbler to entrepreneur. Laura and her hubby give so many great ideas, tips, resources, and information, and they are relatable, warm, and inviting, and they have awesome accents.
We have an accent, do we?
It's funny, actually, how many people comment on the accents.
Really?
Yeah, because we have a huge base of listeners outside of Australia. The majority of people listening are not from where we are. So we
sound... Is there any Irish listeners? Do you have any Irish listeners?
We have listeners all over the globe. So from India to China, you name it.
Wow.
They are everywhere.
That's
Isn't that
awesome,
crazy?
Yeah. It's awesome.
But we sound pretty funny to most people that are listening.
I do not sound funny. I sound exotic.
You sound funny. You still sound funny to me sometimes.
I know.
Okay, so let's get into the ideas. So the first one is to feel your feelings. That all sounds very feely.
It does.
But with art, we often get caught up in things being accurate. You know, a face needs to look like a face, or a tree needs to look like a tree. But with abstract art, you get to get away from that. It's almost like when you used to draw or create things as a child. And you know when your kids come to you with a painting and they know exactly what it is,
mm-hmm.
but you have no idea.
I know that.
Because they're sort of painting like how they see things or feel things without getting caught up in it being
perfect.
Perfect. And that's what abstract art is like too. So you get to kind of just feel what you've seen and express it in however you want. And you can use simple lines. So a tree doesn't have to look like a tree. It could be just quick scribble of a few lines, but you know what you were feeling perhaps when you were in a place that had a lot of trees.
Yeah.
So as I'm talking about this, I'm thinking about our latest class where I painted a painting that was inspired by being in Kaipo Forest, a place where we live. And I was thinking about the trees, but what I was looking at is how could I get that feeling of the vertical trunks? But I was doing it with drips. I was using fluid paint and creating these long drips. So as you can see, I was taking an idea, but I wasn't drawing a realistic tree. I was just using the feeling, the moodiness, the colours, and exploring that in a different way. So you get to kind of, what I love about it is you get to think outside the box. You can take an idea and then turn it around, do it differently. The other thing is that when you're painting, what I find, and when I've interviewed other artists for this podcast, this comes through again and again. Painting is in many ways a healing practice. So when you're painting, you get that opportunity to be still, to let things kind of come to the surface. And I often feel my feelings when I paint, which is why I called this tip or idea, feel your feelings. Like that is actually the time when things happen for me, and sometimes they're happy thoughts, sometimes they're sad thoughts. There's that full spectrum. But for me, that's where I actually let things come out. And for some people, talking about things can be hard. I think I'd put myself in that category, like talking about my feelings, but I can paint my feelings.
Yeah.
And so it's a very important practice for me that isn't so much about the end result. And this often happens to me when I go in there and I don't let you in.
Mm-hmm.
I turn up the music and I let go.
Yeah, it's your therapy.
It's therapy. And that's another reason that I feel like abstract art has so much to offer.
It's like going back to when you were talking about, like when kids paint, they paint with their feelings. You ever notice how happy your kids are giving you their art? They're giving you a little bit of them.
That's right. And it's self-expression, you know, and how beautiful is that to give yourself that opportunity to just express what's going on for you. I just think it's incredible. And so such a, how do I say this? Just such a helpful way of even working through harder things. I think it's a wonderful way to approach things. I didn't say that very well. I don't know. Go back. it's just, I find it hard to put it into words. Mm. I'm feeling it. And this is why I need to paint. See how I'm struggling to talk right now?
Yeah.
I can't express what I want to, but sometimes when I go in my studio, I can.
Yes.
And that is the difference. Finally.
You're an artist.
Oh,
paint me a picture,
stop,
Laura.
Will you? My son still asks for that. He still says, Mum, come on, can you paint me this? Why don't you paint things that I can actually understand? He admits that it's fun. Like what I do is fun. Like
he
when
loves
he
it.
Yeah, when he gets a chance to scribble and draw, he's all for it. So the next thing that I wanted to talk about, and I've already touched on it a bit, is that letting go of control. And this has been an important one for me on a personal level too, because I have got a perfectionistic streak. I do want things to be just right sometimes. Painting has taught me that I can't always control the outcome. It has encouraged me to accept a full range of options and to be easier on myself. It has been a journey of acceptance and compassion. I had needed to let go of control in my life. It was something that I needed to do in order to live a happier life. And painting ended up being a tool for me. I've over time become more compassionate, not just with art, but with myself, but also with other people.
Yeah.
You know, it's taught me about tolerance in a sense and acceptance.
That some things are beyond your control.
Yeah. As far as like a tip point of view, like how do you actually explore this in your studio or wherever you paint? And there's some great techniques that you can try. Many of these you may have heard of before, but it's the simple things like try painting with your non-dominant hand. Shut your eyes. Finger paint. And in our latest class, there's a part of the class where I get caught up in just painting with my fingers, and I didn't intend to. And then at the end, I'm just, oh, I just end up painting that whole layer with my fingers. But those sorts of things, they bring that unpredictableness. You can't control the paint as well with when you're painting with your non-dominant hand, or you've got your eyes shut, or you're just using your fingers. It brings that
unpredictability.
Yeah, unpredictability to the process. Like you lose control, just like what I'm talking about. And when I see abstract art, I see freedom. And that's why I love it so much. Often when people start with abstract art, you can see how tight they are. You can see how they're holding their brush really firmly, that they're thinking very much about the next move there. It takes a lot of time to be able to just lose yourself in the process. It sounds so romantic. It sounds so gorgeous. Just lose yourself in the process. Just let the paint guide you. I often say things like that, but I recognize that that takes a lot of personal work to be able to lose yourself, to let go, to surrender, to let it happen. And when you do that in your painting practice, it enables you to do that in your life too.
Yeah. Do you ever find yourself crying when you paint?
I do, yeah. I do. That's where I release a lot of my feelings. Things surface. Things from my childhood, from, you know, stuff that I haven't fully processed. When I'm painting, that's where it happens. That's where I go through my emotions. And I've become more accepting of them. Like when they come to the surface, I'm like, oh, here you are.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm feeling sad, but I've really latched onto the phrase, feel your feelings. So when something like that happens, I say, oh, you're here. I'm going to feel these feelings. And that's helped me because I felt quite blocked with my feelings for quite a long time. And painting helped me work through a lot of things. The next idea is to keep it simple. And this, again, is such a valuable lesson in life too, isn't it? And with abstract art, often what you'll see is simple ideas, a simple color palette, a painting done just in black and white, a very bold shape right in the center of the painting, a big circle or something like that. You see these ideas and they look so simple. But how hard is it to simplify? It's difficult, isn't it? Even in life, to get to the essence of what you want in your life, to get rid of the clutter, the noise, the distraction. In fact, now I'm thinking about the podcast with Amica when she was talking about her process of simplification in her paintings. So what Amica does, and if you haven't listened to that podcast, it's up there with one of my faves. I think you should go and listen to it. I'll link it in the show notes for this one. But she talks about how she paints, and she has that very loose start, letting go, trying out different supplies. And then the second part of the process involves identifying the areas that she wants to keep and then blocking out the rest. So it's very much about the negative space. She uses a lot of white paint, and it is a process of simplification. She beautifully describes it in the podcast. And then she talks about how she's applied that principle in her life, and she's been cutting out the noise, the chatter, getting back to what's really important, her family, her friendships, her health. So you can see how it plays out and it can have this ripple effect on your life. So the next thing is to delight in your materials and be inspired by the process. And I feel like you can do this when you've worked through those other things, when you've let go of control, you've been able to kind of keep it simple, and then you can focus in on the small kind of nuances of what you're doing. You know, the way the water just drips across the canvas. Then you can delight in the moment, what's happening right now in front of you.
Yeah, because you're getting a kick out of just painting your edges at the moment.
Yeah, just the feeling of wrapping the paint right around the edges of the canvas. So just to explain that a little bit more, previously I just used to paint on the top of the canvas and then I'd paint the edges later. But I don't like painting edges. And I've seen other artists wrap their paintings around. In fact, you've mentioned it to me and how it looks quite cool. And so lately I've been doing that. I've just been continuing right around the edges. And that was a breakthrough for me because it delivered a feeling. It doesn't end. It continues around the edge. The story continues. And for some reason that has, like at the end of the day, that process has brought joy. And it's not about, again, it's not about the outcome. It's the actual feeling of, I'm going to spin this and keep the painting going. That's what I'm talking about where I say delight in your materials and your process. Like the feeling of an oil pastel, the creamy texture of it as you scrub it into the canvas. Or you've got a puddle of wet, you know, acrylic paint and you drop another drop of acrylic paint in. It just, what's the word where it just all spills out and...
I don't know what it's called.
I'm trying to describe a wet in wet acrylic technique, but, you know, it puddles and pools, disperses. Those kind of things are so enjoyable in the moment. Creating drips. Like every time I tip a canvas and I just watch the drips pour down, I never know what's going to happen.
No, they could go anywhere.
And the way they intermingle and that sort of stuff is so enjoyable. Or, you know, layering your canvas with a thick layer of heavy-bodied paint and then grabbing a tool and like scraping it through, bringing back some of the underneath layers. So I encourage all of my students in my classes and anyone listening to just grab some supplies, focus on what they can do rather than the painting. Just the feeling, the combinations. You know, one of the breakthroughs for me was when I started incorporating more mixed media elements into my art. So initially I started with acrylic paint, but over time that has grown. And now I love combining acrylic paint with pastels, crayons, charcoal, spray paint, sometimes oil paint. I use watercolor. I use a lot of different things because I've found that that combination of different supplies delivers something to me as far as my experience of the process. So if that makes sense, it's not so much about what happens at the end, it's about how it feels when I'm playing with those things. So it's very important to focus on your process. And I do believe that your style will come from developing your own process. I'm looking at our notes and I'm seeing the reference to using spray paint and just remembering how excited I was when I first broke out the spray paint.
I remember you didn't even know how to use it. It was dripping
and
everywhere.
The nozzle didn't work properly. And this is in my online class, Braver Things. So Braver Things is a class all about exactly what I've just been talking about, like using different supplies, trying different things. It's also about exploring a theme. So it ties in with that idea of keeping it simple, where you might hone in on an idea. So in Braver Things, I honed in on the idea of circles. And I looked at all different ways that I could use circles in my work. And I covered all sorts of materials, watercolor, oil paint, pastels, acrylic paint, pretty much everything in my studio. There was quite a long supply list for that class. I just remember when I started using the spray paint, that just was so fun. You know, trying new supplies will bring in that element of mystery and excitement and that science-y kind of, it's like a science experiment. So there you go. The last tip or last concept to try out is to do something unexpected. And this is where abstract art is great, because you often see the unexpected in a painting. So you might have something that has a bit of a feel of realism. So there might be a mountain or a sky or something, but it's in a completely different color to what you think it should be. So you might have this bright pink sky. So this is where you get to play with things and do what you wouldn't expect. Or you might see a really like bold line, like a big, dark, sweeping splash of paint that goes from one corner of the painting to the other. I mean, that takes enormous bravery to do something like that, especially when you've built up other layers on your painting and you're like, will I do this? Will I don't, you know?
Because it has the potential to ruin your painting.
Yeah, this happens to me all the time. And I talk about it, I'm like, will I do this mark? Won't I? Because you'd never know how it's going to look. So it requires bravery. And bravery is such an important tool in life. So the more that you can practice bravery in your painting, the more that you can practice bravery in your life too. Well, when I think about my journey with art, I really do feel like it was or has and continues to be a journey of bravery. I've talked about this in the podcast many times, about these little steps that you take and that you build confidence over time. Every little thing that you do that pushes out your comfort zone is contributing to your bravery over time. So get into your studio and start splashing things around.
Yeah, start being brave.
Yeah, being brave. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head of a few examples of things that you could do that are brave and unexpected. So one of the things that you could do is go really bold with color. So paint a vibrant yellow painting and maybe have 80% of that painting being in different shades of yellow. Like, go big on the color. Go bigger in general. Like, go bigger with your marks, your shapes. Go big with a canvas. Use non-traditional supplies. So you could use things like twigs and things that you collect in the garden. I see a lot of artists creating their own kind of brushes with things, so going and collecting reeds and things. So use things from around your environment, or even household things from your kitchen, sponges, rags, kitchen utensils are great. Try and create some unusual supplies that you could use. What else could you do to get brave? I think removing a lot of what's there can be a brave one, and great for abstract art, because simplification is a valuable tool with abstract art. So just covering up what you've got, maybe taking away 70 to 80% of what's there and bringing in a lot of spaciousness, using that negative space, painting a monochrome painting, just going in with black and white and painting something that's very high contrast. There are just a few things that I'm thinking of. But maybe while you're listening to this podcast, you could brainstorm some of your own ideas of how you could do something unexpected in your art. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up here for this week. I hope that you've enjoyed these ideas. And just to kind of give you, I guess, an overview, the next time you're going into your studio or wherever you make art, have a think about these things. Feeling your feelings, letting go of control, keeping it simple, delighting in your materials, and doing something unexpected. And if you'd like some more abstract ideas, don't forget that I have a whole range of classes over on my website. You can check them out at laurahornart.com/classes. I'd love to have you join me. We have a fantastic mixed media community of brave artists. So thank you very much for tuning in to this week's podcast. If you enjoyed the conversation, we love it when we see your reviews over on iTunes and of course your Instagram stories. Please do share. It helps us to get this podcast out to more artists and encourage everyone along their own artistic journey.